Canva presents stories to keep you up at night. It was an ordinary work day until...
The Singapore presentation is at
3 a.m.
The office was shocked.
That's when we sleep.
Maya made it less scary with Canva.
I'll just record my presentation so Singapore can watch it anytime.
Record and present anytime with Canva presentations at canva.com. Designed for work.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hi, I'm Kara Swisher, editor-at-large of Recode. You may know me as a better lawyer than Rudy Giuliani, and I didn't even go to law school. But in my spare time, I talk tech, and you're listening to Recode Decode from the Vox Media Podcast Network. Today in the red chair is Matt Rivitz, the founder of Sleeping Giants. For a long time, he was one of the anonymous writers behind a very popular Twitter account that urged boycotts of Breitbart advertisers. But since July, he's been out in the open, and he's here talking to us. Matt, welcome to Recode Decode.
Great to be here.
I am so excited. I follow you on Twitter. It's so interesting how many relationships I have on Twitter that aren't real, like that now to see you. It's great. But I want to sort of go through the history, because I've been really interested in people using Twitter or other mediums. We recently had Jen Gunter on talking about what she did to Goop. Yep. She's a doctor. And has had real impact sort of speaking from a thing. And you've used, Twitter's been used many times, this, but you guys have really deftly used the medium to do something. So give the background. Tell what you do and what Sleeping Giants is.
So Sleeping Giants started just after the 2016 election. Mm-hmm. And it really started because of my white hot hatred for Steve Bannon.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Where did that come from?
I get it.
Yeah. Please, you don't have to explain it to me.
I grew up learning from my parents and from the community that I was in that hatred is bad. Mm-hmm. And certainly I grew up learning a lot about the Holocaust, and mm-hmm. I learned about slavery, and my parents gave me a good, healthy dose of that. Growing up, mm-hmm. It wasn't super light dinner discussion, but
right. It
was enough that it seeped into...
Where did you grow up? Where?
In Baltimore, Maryland.
In Baltimore, Maryland.
And I couldn't believe that Steve Bannon had elevated to this position, and
right.
I hadn't heard about him before, and I was reading about him, and I couldn't believe that someone that was whipping up people into a frenzy
right.
about ethnic groups could achieve this high level of notoriety
right.
or just profile, you know, just
right,
having
next to the
profile
president.
The way it is. Yeah.
And what were you doing? What was your job? You were just a citizen.
I'm a copywriter. And
for
I've been writing ads. I'm a freelance copywriter. I've been writing mm-hmm. ads for 25 years.
Right.
And being in the business, it just, you learn, you support with your ad dollars, you support
right.
different things.
Mm-hmm.
And it used to be that you would buy a TV spot and that I would go make it and it would end up on air on a certain show.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all it was. But
were using your company to persuade, just sell things or whatever.
Yeah, I'm more on the sort of brand side.
Right.
And
what's your best line in copy it?
Oh God, I can't even remember. I've done so much now.
Like what? Give me an example.
Yeah, but I'll do campaigns for, I did a campaign for Dodge. Mm-hmm. I've done a campaign for I've worked on it. Like, so
what
many
about political
brands.
Ones? Had you worked on those?
Zero.
Zero.
No.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I'm not interested in that stuff.
Right.
To be honest.
Okay.
That part is a totally different business. Than
and you've
I've
been living in San Francisco.
Yeah.
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 Doing this, so you start reading up on Bannon. You're yeah. disgusted by him.
Right. And I hadn't heard about Breitbart at all.
Right.
And I think that's part of the issue.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I'd heard a little bit about it coming into mm-hmm. the election, but mm-hmm. I didn't know what they were all about. And I'm a curious guy, so I went on to look at Breitbart, and there's a black crime section that I'm staring at,
mm-hmm.
and there's a, birth control makes women unattractive
mm-hmm.
article, and there's no hiring bias against women in tech. They just suck at interviews. So
mm-hmm.
these are real headlines.
No, yeah, I know.
And that blew my mind. I couldn't
mm-hmm.
believe that this was on a website that was being read by all these people, and the comment sections below it were even worse.
Right.
And really, some of the stuff was really violent and really terrible. And I just, it was all new to me.
You plunged right into that.
Right. And being in the business, I just didn't know, I couldn't believe that any advertisers would support this kind of stuff because, you know, you send your money off to the New York Times or the Washington Post or whatever, and, and they run your ad and they take your money and that's how they go into business.
Right, so and you want to place it somewhere.
My next logical step was being in advertising, who's supporting it? Who's sending ads over to Breitbart? I used to, who's trafficking their ads to Breitbart? And it turns out that Google and Facebook and a lot of programmatic companies were running ads on there. So the first advertiser that I saw was SoFi, which is a
mortgage
lending company in San Francisco.
Right.
And they're pretty well known. They were pretty progressive.
Yep.
And I just couldn't believe that they were supporting that. And so I set up this anonymous Twitter handle. I got an anonymous.
Explain what was the idea behind the name? People really
I have no idea. It just sounded kind of badass to me or something. I just.
You didn't go, like, who's sleeping?
I know.
Like
I just
band.
I didn't.
It sounds like a,
I'm a writer. So this stuff kind of just comes out of my head.
Where did it come from? You just said, Sleeping Giants.
Yeah.
It is.
Well, it just sounded like, to me, I just wanted it to be.
I mean, why wasn't it like Angry Persimmons? I don't know.
I don't have an answer other than I thought it sounded cool. It sounded like there are a bunch of people. It was just me at first.
Right, okay.
And so I wanted it to seem bigger.
Right, okay,
and
bigger,
I think I had a vision.
Why sleeping? Come on.
Well, because you awaken sleeping giants and they want to do something about it, right?
Okay, don't awaken
sleeping. Yeah, exactly.
Got
so
it.
That's
okay,
the,
right.
that.
Got it, okay.
That's where it came from.
Right.
But that thing just came out. It usually takes me a really long time to think of stuff.
Right.
That thing kind of was birthed very quickly. And I just put the name out there and I wanted it to seem sort of bigger because I was going to be talking
group.
To big advertisers.
Right,
I wanted it to seem significant, even though there were two followers.
Why two followers? Why Twitter?
We'll get to this later, I'm sure, but I had heard from a friend that if you ever have a problem with an airline and you're waiting on the ground, then there's someone behind the Twitter handle that's going to answer you. And and I just happened to be at IKEA with my wife waiting for a dresser to come out or something. Mm-hmm. And it took 2 hours. And so no one was back behind the counter for me to talk to. So I hit them up on Twitter.
Right.
And it was one of 10 tweets I'd sent in my entire life.
Right.
And they got back right away. How can we help? And I said, well, maybe you can tell the people behind the counter to bring out my dresser. I just want to get out of here.
Right.
And that was
So you didn't partake of Swedish meatballs. That's what they were trying to get you to do.
I mean, those chocolate dames are pretty good.
Yeah, they were trying to do that. You know, that's the goal, is the Swedish meatballs with lingonberries.
It didn't totally help us get the thing in time.
But felt better.
But I felt better because I could yell at somebody. And
I don't want to even get into why you want a dresser from IKEA, but let's move on.
It's a long story. But anyway, so I tweeted that out. They got back. And then, so I just remembered someone's back there.
Yeah.
And you can call somebody and talk to them about it. But Twitter's a pretty public medium.
Mm-hmm.
And if you ask a brand about something, then they're likely to get back because they want to address it. If you call someone or email, you might not hear back.
Right.
So I took a screenshot of SoFi's ad and tweeted it to the CEO and tweeted it to their corporate handle.
Mm-hmm.
And
what did you say?
I said, hey, do you know that your ad is running on Breitbart News next to this article?
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, I had found some terrible stock art to put on there
and
something that kind of resembled a logo. And it really bothered me because I like design. But it just was, it was there.
So it was your sleeping giants thing, which now is quite lovely.
It just had, we have a great designer doing it. Who's been incredible. But that's a story for another time. But they got back half an hour later, and the CEO said, I had no idea we were even on there. The CEO.
On Twitter.
Who was on Twitter.
Yeah.
I had no idea I was on there. So I couldn't believe that he didn't know he was on there.
I
do not come from the world of tech at all. Mm-hmm. I've worked on tech brands occasionally, but I didn't understand it. So I called a couple of friends. I was like, how does he not know? Like, how does it? And it was explained to me it's programmatic advertising and that you just send your
you what
traffic
you want, the people you want and
right
you,
you traffic your ads. It's not like TV where you buy a time where your TV spot's going to run, and it's you just send it off. And it's traffic through Google and Facebook and a couple other companies, and and they run it wherever their space and wherever their market is.
Right.
And that made zero sense to me because I spent my life in research and crafting every single word of a TV spot to mm-hmm. make sure that nothing got nothing was mistaken for something else. Mm-hmm. And I was really careful. And to me, I couldn't believe that they would take those executions that we'd worked on, those ads, and send it off to a place where they could run next to a terrible article like that.
Right.
So that's how it started. And now we're sitting on over 4,000 advertisers that have removed themselves from Breitbart.
So you went individually to each of them? So you were doing this by yourself?
I was doing it by myself
for
a couple weeks.
Your first thing is a kill.
First
thing is a kill very quickly.
Yeah, and it was really satisfying, mm-hmm. right? I had signed so many petitions leading mm-hmm. up to,
so you did something.
To the election, feeling like I had to do something and nothing ever happened, of mm-hmm. course. So not to say that those are bad. It's just, right. I'm a results a results-driven person.
So SoFi came off of Breitbart.
Yeah. So that ad came down and then another one popped up and I think it was for Warby Parker, which right. also didn't make
yeah.
any sense
those
at all.
Those guys, man.
So tweeted at them.
Couldn't be more hipster.
Yeah.
Brooklyn.
And they, right away, they hit the panic button. They were like, right. wow, we're going to blacklist that. We know how to do that. Okay. So a week goes by.
So you're
by
doing the low-hanging hipster fruit first.
Yeah, that's
right?
easy. Yeah. Those
right.
are easy.
They're like, yeah. oh, no.
Yeah. And then I found an article. There are people that were kind of hitting me up a little bit. And mm-hmm. then I had sent it, after like 5 or 10 advertisers, I sent it to a couple people I knew that had a decent following. And then mm-hmm. they sent people over. And all of a sudden, I had 100 people, mm-hmm. 200 people. And then I read an article by this woman, Nandini Jami, who's mm-hmm. She is also a writer.
Yeah.
And she was talking about the same kind of things that I was. And so I reached out to her and I said, hey, do you want to join forces? Do you want to come in and do this with me? And she said yes, and which is really lucky.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's been helping for a long time.
Right.
And not even just helping, but really helping craft the...
Right, because you have to start to get
organized.
And
with all the decisions and everything, she's yeah. been an integral part of this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then the following just kept growing. And then I was like, man, I'm tired of doing this by myself. This is like throwing right. pebbles into the ocean.
Right.
And so
how many advertisers did you get off of Breitbart? You say 400?
4,000.
4,000 now.
Yeah. But yeah. where the gasoline got poured on, I sort of realized if I've got all these people following, why aren't they doing something too? And so
right.
I just put a set of instructions on the pinned tweet. I didn't even know there was a pinned tweet at the time.
Right.
Someone had
okay.
to explain it to me. And I put it up at the top of the page. And
pinned tweet.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, and I put in real clear instructions.
Right.
And you can still see it because I think I did it on like the notes
right,
app.
Right.
So you can still see that under the Twitter handle where I asked to tag Sleeping Giants.
Yeah.
It's SLPNG.
Yeah.
And it has a little, you got to correct that.
That's, right. That's, right.
It's,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's not spelled correctly.
Right. Right.
So it's still there.
Yeah.
And
so you put in instructions to get everyone else to.
Yeah. And then that's where that lit a huge fire. Everyone felt that same.
I
can do something, and I see a result at the end, and I would do these confirmed emails, and mm-hmm. I mean the confirmed tweets, and then
confirm. What do you mean?
Confirm that a company.
I know what you mean.
Yeah, so I would say, okay, confirmed. SoFi has removed themselves from Breitbart.
Right, and they would tell you these companies would.
Yeah, and they would tell you very publicly because they don't want to be associated with it at all.
Right.
So,
right.
Or the majority of them, vast majority of them.
Mm-hmm.
Other than maybe three of them.
I want to hear about that
yeah.
a little bit. So you get all these people to do it
yeah.
and then you, and so on and so
and
forth.
And then they started coming off by the tens and then the hundreds and then now the thousands.
Right.
And it's, and Breitbart is really the test case,
mm-hmm.
right? This is, it's a much bigger problem than Breitbart.
Mm-hmm.
And, these companies are helping monetize sites like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it encourages them to get more clicks
sure
and
right.
and to get more outrage and to whip everyone into a frenzy so they get more clicks and more
right.
eyeballs and more dollars. And
right.
so that is not a good cycle to
so
be
you,
in.
So you got more writers to participate in it, correct?
There are other people doing
right.
more sort of ancillary jobs on it. And then
right.
there are people that are doing other projects on it. And that's what's
we're going to get on that in a
yeah.
little bit. But so you have all these, so Breitbart was your first aim essentially.
Yeah.
And then, so how many followers do you have now?
On Twitter, we're aiming for almost 200,000.
Okay.
And on Facebook, I think we've got 70 or
so you're doing
98,
the same. It's
000.
Going onto Facebook the same.
Yeah. And Facebook is run, it sort of follows we follow each other and the same messages that are going on in Facebook
are doing
on
the same
Twitter.
Thing. You're like the Russians, but for
yeah, I guess.
You're essentially doing what the Russians did, but not fake ads. What was the reaction from Breitbart?
We didn't really get a reaction for a long time, and I don't think they wanted anyone to really
notice.
Know about it.
Right.
And I don't blame them. What really happened though is the biggest moment, I think, when we knew that we were on something much bigger was when Kellogg's decided to back out of Breitbart, and they did it very publicly, and they said, we don't want to support this stuff.
Right.
And, you know, they're a company like any other. They need to appeal to as many people as possible.
Right.
So to sponsor a website that denigrates women and minorities and immigrants, they weren't down with
that. They weren't down with it. So who wouldn't do it? Who didn't respond?
There are only a handful. And there have been a couple big brands that didn't publicly tell anyone, but they kind of disappeared. And you can tell.
Yeah, they're not.
I think initially there were a couple big brands that said, hey, we're not going to sort of fall victim to some internet mob. And,
I want to get into internet mobs in the next
section. Yeah, and there are positive ways to do that and negative ways to do that. And I do, this thing now is as big as it is. It's got some power to it and unexpectedly. And so I think you need to use that in a good way rather than a bad way.
But, all right, Matt, we're going to talk more about that because I do want to talk about internet mobs because people have different opinions. I'm of the mind that some of them are great.
Yeah.
Some of them are
good.
Fine and people don't. And some of them aren't.
Hopefully
but,
ours.
But the focus on the ones that aren't are too heavy. We're going to take a quick break now with our sponsors. I hope you don't target them. We'll be back in a minute with Matt Rivitz, the founder of Sleeping Giants.
Support for this podcast comes from Constant Contact. If you're a business owner, you already know that it's really, really hard to cut through the noise of everyday life. If you want to connect with your customers, you need to break through the noise. You need Constant Contact. Constant Contact is a marketing platform that makes it easy to reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and connect over email, text, social media, and more. Whether you're a marketing guru or just learning the ropes, Constant Contact offers writing assistance tools and automation features that make it simple to say the right thing at the right time. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Wow, that guy means business.
Just an amazing player.
No, not him, the sports photographer behind him.
What?
He has a business bank account with QuickBooks Money where he earns 5% annual percentage yield, so he's scoring big on and off the field. You might even say he's the MVB.
MVB?
The most valuable business.
Making your money work harder. That's how you business differently. Intuit QuickBooks. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
I'm here with Matt Rivitz, the founder of Sleeping Giants. I'm a big fan of his Twitter account where you tweet all kinds of things. And
Thanks.
It's very funny
We're
most
fans
of the
of
time.
Yours too.
Thank you. What I like about it is you're sort of unapologetic in how you do your messages. They're pretty clear. Let's first talk. I want to talk about the mobs in a second. But how much pushback do you get from, because there are mob people on the other side who are quite good at it. And many bots, many angry people.
Yeah.
Talk about that a little bit. What was the reaction from that side when you went after Breitbart, which is in the
right
wing sector?
Right. It certainly is. But it was never about politics.
Right.
And it was about...
Well, explain that because most people think you're liberal.
Yeah. And
which you are, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I've voted Democratic before, but I've also not been really that politically active in the past at all.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I have a massive bone to pick with anyone that's going to espouse bigotry. So that's where this started.
Right. I'm not going to get any argument from you on Steve Bannon. But go ahead. Yeah. So what was the pushback from? What kind of pushback?
From
Breitbart. The right. Yeah, from the right.
Well, too. Initially,
and
Breitbart.
And their supporters and people who
initially
don't like
when the big brands started coming down from Breitbart, that's when they didn't like when Kellogg's decided not to run ads with them. And they weren't probably making a whole lot of money off of it, but just the point of it, I think they didn't like.
No. It's a bad trend line.
It is. And it was, they did us a massive favor by then doing a counter boycott on Kellogg's, which of course doesn't last for more than a day.
Right.
But they're advertising Breitbart as an advertising solution right over an ad saying boycott Kellogg's. So if you're an advertiser, you're like, you don't want to be anywhere near that.
Right,
so that
right.
they did us a big favor with that.
Right. And so you went from Breitbart, and then where did you go next? Talk to me about your day. How do you manage it now?
My day is bananas. I am so ADD that I'll tweet, I'll post some stuff, I'll talk to some people on the phone. I got to do my job. I'm really determined not to take any money to do this other than from the people that support it.
Right.
And unless they are very down the middle, you know. I don't want it to look like we're favoring one thing over another.
Right.
So,
right.
And we
so
don't.
What have you supported that's on the, like, if you're in the middle, that kind of thing?
Supported how?
I mean, what else have you gone after? What happened after?
We really follow the community and what people ask us to do. Mm-hmm. And we take it, we don't do everything. We're pretty picky and we don't want to just continue to feed the outrage. It's just, it's dangerous to do that. And we want to be smart about how we do it. But the Bill O'Reilly thing came up, and that was really clear.
So explain that for people.
So Bill O'Reilly, New York Times article came out that he had settled sexual harassment suits, and Fox News had settled sexual harassment suits for millions and millions and millions of dollars, and they kept him on the air.
Because he didn't really do it, but good.
Right, clearly, yeah, of course. He still maintains that didn't happen.
Okay.
But it's hard to argue with that, and there are a lot of people in our community, and we were fairly big at that point, you know, maybe under 100,000, but still a lot of people that were clamoring. They said, hey, there's no greater example of bigotry than sexual harassment in the workplace. That's why this stuff exists. And so we put a poll out. Does everyone think this is on message and something that we should do, or should we just hang with what we've been doing? And it was an overwhelming, like 94% of people that responded said, this is bad news. And it's really bad for a network to support this stuff, especially when they're running ads for female-centered products and services. And so that just didn't make any sense. And I'm in advertising. I think maybe part of this thing is like penance for being an advertiser for so long. I wanted them to support good things rather than people like that that are obviously causing havoc in their workplace and limiting the prospects for women in that network, you know, and others.
So
we started, we made some facts about Bill O'Reilly. We did some, banners and sent them out to these brands and say, hey, here are the millions of dollars he settled for. These are the things that he's said in the past about women. How do you feel about supporting this? And the vast majority over time said they didn't. And they just needed the information. I mean, we really view this
as
like...
They may have had the information. They didn't care about
the information. But it's like they need to know that people care about it too. I mean, they're, you know, and I think they know that ultimately, unless someone brings it up with them, they're just going to probably kick the can down the road a little bit.
Right. So you want to call attention to it, like these big kind of things, because it'll start trickling down, presumably.
Yeah. And you just want everyone to know what the line is. You know, for a lot of people, that seemed beyond the pale. And just to keep someone on the air like that, just to, you know, while he limited the prospects of females that worked on the staff there.
So how is using online tools different? I mean, there's been so many boycotts and things like that on the other side. Like, I remember Anita Bryant, if you remember, the orange juice thing.
I don't really remember that too much.
Well, you're too young. But Anita Bryant was a spokesperson for orange juice, essentially all of orange juice. And she drinks some Florida sunshine. I have this memory in my head. And she would have this happy family, and they'd be drinking Florida sunshine. Yeah. And she started to say some really anti-gay things it must be the 70s or the 80s, and really terrible anti-gay things. And the gay community, the first time they actually rose up, you know, publicly and started boycotting orange juice and would pour it out at bars and stuff like that. And it wasn't an online thing, but it certainly was viral in a really interesting ways. And then they ultimately parted ways with her.
Yeah.
So it removes someone in that way. And these things have been going on, these efforts.
It can be in good faith or bad faith, for sure.
How does that change from your perspective? Because like here you are on Twitter with one handle and you got people to do it. How do you look at the mediums?
Well, first off, we've never called for any boycotts.
Right.
I just think companies need to know how people feel, but it's a personal decision whether you decide to buy something or not. There are great efforts online that deal with that. We just don't.
Right.
I think they can be really dangerous. I think unless you do it the right way and unless it's in good faith and you're asking someone to do the right thing, at least in my
opinion. Explain how you can do it badly. So there are good moms and bad moms, right? So the people, a lot of pundits, they get attacked, and some of them, they're attacked terribly by these roving mobs, some of them violent, which nobody wants, nobody, and is wrong.
Doubt.
Other times people write and say stupid things and they get deservedly decried for it and people move in mobs. There was actually a really great article recently about good mobs and bad mobs. But in general, this obsession with worries about mobs is growing. So talk about that, because people could see you as a mob.
Yeah, for sure. And the one thing that we've been really clear with from the beginning is keep it polite.
Mm-hmm.
We're asking people to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not demand that they do something.
Right.
Unless it's pretty egregious.
Right.
We save the super outrage for the big companies like Facebook and Google when they do.
Yeah, you're tough on them.
Yeah, and Twitter.
So keep it polite. What does that mean?
It really came from the fact that in the beginning, we're asking a company that doesn't know where they are advertising to stop advertising there.
Right.
And we're just letting them know and hoping that they do that.
Right.
And so it went from, get your ads off Breitbart to, wait, you don't know you're there.
We're here to inform you
to let you know.
Right.
And so it really sprang from that. And also, we're kind of polite people.
Yeah.
We're not that angry. And,
because outrage has sort of really gone out of control. I think some of it's manufactured.
It sure is. And it also, again, it's a negative feedback loop. You get more outrage and more clicks and more money, and then you can sell more, expired vitamins, if that's what you do, if you're Alex Jones or something like that.
So you try to be polite but clever and pointed.
Yeah, and again, you want to be smart. You don't want to have to go after everything. Some things are really done in bad faith. They'll dig up something that someone said 3,000 years ago and when they were maybe a different person and really go after them and go after their job. And in some respects, I understand that if someone holds some views about things that don't seem right, that you want to express your opinion on that, and that's fine. But it does feel sometimes like things are incredibly coordinated, that on the same minute that everyone goes after something, our things are real slow burn, and we've only had 3 or 4 real official actions.
O'Reilly, Breitbart.
And then we kind of helped out with Laura Ingraham a bit because...
Ingram, sorry. You can call her Ingraham. I like
Okay,
that.
All right. We can do that too.
Yeah.
But in our estimation, she says really racist stuff.
She does indeed.
And going after a high school student is not something that we should maybe have in our media environment. Mm-hmm. And so that seemed kind of right. But that wasn't really an official thing. That was kind of helping out. Robert Mercer, the thing that no one has really talked about, which I'm most proud of this, is that, and who knows what the real world implications were, but Robert Mercer, has funded some incredibly racist things. Mm-hmm. And there were, it came out in an article that there were 12, I think, well-known institutions that were investing in Renaissance Technologies, where he's the co-CEO.
Right.
And chairman of the board. And so we got the public, very public. We never publish anyone's private stuff ever, but the public emails of the people on the board ask them why they were invested. If you're Columbia University or Michigan State and your stated goal is to be inclusive of all races and creeds and religions,
why are you
supporting a man that is trying to tear that stuff down? And so it was really surprising.
Right.
It was 3 weeks later, he stepped down from his co-CEO position and he divested Breitbart to his daughter, but he divested himself from Breitbart. And that was a big thing because it's just responsibility.
Right. You're linking people. You're giving people information.
Yeah,
the consequences
and walking it up the chain.
Action.
Like if you speak with your money, don't just say that you're for equality.
Right.
And put that on your website.
Right.
See it all the way through. See it through in your investments. See it through in your advertising. See it through in everything.
You have been aimed at the right, though. How do you escape that idea that you're a liberal, a bunch of liberal rabble rousers?
I mean, you can't escape how people are going to feel about it.
Mm-hmm.
To me, if there's a really super bigoted thing that a website that's on the left goes after, I'm really critical of, not to say it's liberal or it's right or left, but I'm really critical of what CBS is doing with Les Moonves right now. That article came out, and it's very clear that he was sexually harassing women. Yeah. Why why is it taking so long? What are what's the deal? And so to me, it's like all that stuff all comes back to the same place. There, I think that a lot of the you know, the Breitbarts of the world, they can claim that they're being silenced because they're on the right, but they're being thrown off a lot of these platforms because they're being super racist.
Right.
me, like, if they want to conflate those two things,
they do want to conflate.
Then let them do that.
It is really interesting. I said, I wrote a column in the New York Times, and this one line came out when I said, the people who complain most about, you know, having their First Amendment rights violated never shut up. It seems to me like,
yeah.
Like,
I mean,
there's so many places.
Yeah. And and it's a slippery slope, right? You don't want, you don't want people to silence voices, you know, that are challenging the government or, you know, the,
But I think it's these, you're conflating also companies with the state. And I think Facebook can do whatever it wants. So can Twitter.
The free speech argument is a bad faith argument. These are private publicly traded businesses. It has nothing to do with them. They have, we can get into it further, but they have terms of service that they should be following,
they
haven't been doing it. And so that's why we're
talking about those attacks on Facebook and Twitter and others. So you've recently been doing that.
Well, I mean, it comes back to the original state admission, right? Like they've left Breitbart on their ad network, despite the fact that a lot of those articles and the comments below those articles that they leave up and don't moderate, break the terms of service of Google and Facebook. And so they're, not only allowing it to happen, but they're monetizing this. And so we all agree to those terms when we sign on to it, whether we're going to run ads on our sites or we sign on to just post pictures of family and friends, we sign up for a set of rules.
And an experience.
And we're all expected to follow those things. And there are plenty of us that want to follow those every day and then want to use it in good faith. But they've been ignoring this for too long. And they've let, for the sake of, who knows, for the sake of
money
or for the sake of their ideals where they believe that a town square where everyone gets a voice is a good thing, even if the voices that are harassing people are actually shutting down free speech. They have been ignoring it, and that's my biggest
beef. Explain your strategy of doing this, like just pointing it out.
Yeah,
what do you expect
to
get? Because I don't think they'll do anything.
Okay.
Are they the hardest? Tell me what your strategy is.
They're starting to take some responsibility, but I don't think they would take responsibility without people bringing it up.
I agree.
And I don't like to think of us as a shaming organization. People have printed that before.
I like to shame people.
And I'm not down with that. But you need to point it out or nothing's ever going to get done. I mean,
I don't know about that. I think shame is actually a useful tool. I use it a lot.
Like, maybe we'll use that more.
I've written a lot of columns about it saying, you can't do this. No, you can't do it. You're doing it. You can't do it. And I think they pay attention. So that's, as long as they pay attention and they hear you and they're slightly ashamed, I think it's not a shame in the way that you would, oh, you're dressed like that. You're a slut or something like that. That's not the same thing. There's a role for why are you doing this?
Well, they can't escape their business model, right?
They cannot.
Their business model to provide their stockholders with the maximum money they could possibly get, the highest stock price, is to get more eyeballs and more clicks and more people on their platforms. And to do that, outrage works and racism works and sexism works. It all works in their favor. So you have to call them out on that.
Right.
You're making money on the backs of immigrants that are trying to do their best in this country and women that are trying to get ahead despite being kept down, you know, by the system and the black community that are just trying to survive in the streets sometimes and don't feel like they have the respect from, you know, from the government. And so they're making money off that.
Yeah.
And that feels really wrong to me.
What is your goal with Facebook and Google?
I think continuing to point out the fact that they have rules and they have terms of service that explicitly state that this kind of language should not be allowed on their site. And they've been doing backflips to avoid having to do anything.
Yes, they have.
My point and our whole point in this campaign is be responsible. Be across the board. Don't make special, don't give, you know, special commutations for people that do bad things because you don't feel like you want to look like you're slanted.
Cleaning it up, or cleaning.
Just have the rules.
Yeah.
Give us all 10 strikes if you want, mm-hmm. so we know what to expect, but be right. really clear and enforce them very clearly. If mm-hmm. someone flags something.
They try to hide those strikes. I know exactly how many strikes it is, but yeah. and they have a weird moving target thing.
They have a moving target. Just tell us all what it is.
It's so confusing.
Tell us all what it is.
Even when it was explained to me, I was like, that is confusing. Yeah. Why don't you just like publicly say why you did it? We took it down for this reason. Yeah. Let everybody see it.
Yeah.
But they're like, well, they'll try to game it. I'm like, so what? Like,
yeah, it doesn't matter. And also,
then maybe they'll behave.
Right.
If they
and
know
also,
they're close to being.
We're ignoring the fact that they don't really need to be held to any of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
If Alex Jones, who harasses Sandy Hook parents, mm-hmm. is on their platform, mm-hmm. they, just like if he was doing that in an Arby's,
right.
Arby's is going to call the cops and get him out of there.
Right, right,
just
right.
Because
I was arguing this with someone last night where I said, they were like, Alex Jones should be able to be on there. I said, is Alex Jones in the New York Times? And they're like,
right.
no. And I said, why?
Good
well, they
point.
Don't want him there. And I was like, yeah, they don't want him there. He doesn't get to be in the New York Times.
No.
He doesn't get to be on Facebook.
No.
Like, it's not the same. It's not a free speech argument.
Right.
New York Times has made a decision as a product. We don't want him here. He's
right.
a nasty prick,
right.
essentially. Let's, like, not. And it was really, they're like, well, it's not the same. I'm like, why?
Right.
It's,
and
why?
I think, look, this is all part of a much bigger discussion
mm-hmm.
on what's appropriate and what's not and what is to be allowed on these platforms and what they think should be allowed on their platforms. And if free speech applies to them, which it doesn't, it's
right.
not a legit argument.
Yeah.
They are a business. They are
well,
in it to make
good.
Money.
It
and
sounds
it sounds good.
Good.
And it's also been pushed on them too.
We had people on our platform. We took out comments years ago because I was
good
sick of
you.
The vile stuff because I didn't have people to monitor. And
right.
it wasn't adding to the experience. It was
right.
detracting from
right.
our site. And I got so many emails. And my free speech, you're violating my free speech. I said, get your own fucking website.
Yeah,
you
start
want
your own
I don't
site.
Care.
Yeah, no
I don't
doubt.
Care. Like,
no
I don't
doubt.
Have to listen to you. Go to Twitter.
Discuss.
And
by Discuss. Discuss.
Yeah, Discuss. Yeah.
I mean, we reserve a lot of vitriol for them.
Yeah.
They have terms of service that mm-hmm. they absolutely are supposed to
yeah.
prevent.
Yeah, well, I just got rid of it. I didn't even care. Anyway, we're
yeah.
here with Matt Rivets. He's the founder of Sleeping Giants, which is a Twitter account that does all this really interesting stuff in terms of forcing companies to pay attention to what they're doing online and trying to hold them to standards. When we get back, we'll talk more.
This podcast is supported by Choiceology, an original podcast from Charles Schwab. Choiceology is a show all about the psychology and economics behind our decisions. Each episode shares the latest research on behavioral science and dives into questions like, can we learn to make smarter decisions? And what is the power of negative thinking? The show is hosted by Katie Milkman. She's an award-winning behavioral scientist, professor at the Wharton School, and author of the best-selling book, How to Change. In each episode, Katie talks to authors, athletes, Nobel laureates, and more about why we make irrational choices and how we can make better ones. Choiceology is out now. Listen and subscribe at schwab.com/podcast or find it wherever you listen.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries, not including...
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on, and there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
We're back with Matt Rivets. He's the founder of Sleeping Giants, which is a really cool Twitter account that has caused a lot of noise from a very small place, which I think is I'm really interested in people who create problems for bigger institutions from small
platforms.
Didn't
plan on that being
me. So talk about this idea of where it's going. What are you going to do with it? So you've created this, and sometimes these things, like you look at the Pod Saves America guys, I don't think they thought it was going to be as big as it was.
Yeah.
Where do you go from here with this?
Yeah, I mean, I'm super surprised that it is where it is. I certainly didn't think it was going to be any more than a two-week project, but here I am almost two years
It's a yoke
later.
Around your neck.
Yeah, it is. It is. Like, I can't wait to the day I'm not on Twitter anymore. That's going to be a great
thing. Then you'll write a big essay about it. I am leaving Twitter.
Kick that phone into...
I can't stand those pieces anymore.
Yeah.
Like, stop it.
Yeah, I get it. But it's a terrible place sometimes.
It is.
And especially the stuff that we see all day.
I think Instagram's worse. I think Instagram's performative and makes you feel bad.
Yeah, there may be some of that. I don't know. Some days I want to hang out on the island of Instagram and see beautiful pictures of nature and friends and family.
The island of Instagram.
Yeah. But Twitter is like the opposite of that. You know, it's not well curated.
It's the big city versus the suburb, for sure.
So this has morphed and changed. It started kind of as a tactic, and as something to inform advertisers, and all of a sudden, there are a lot of people following it, and we have a voice.
And they care about what you say.
Well, not about. I think what we all say. It's a very open community, and people have a lot of ideas, and they share ideas on there. And so that's something that was kind of not intended. And additionally, it's grown across the world.
Right.
It just kind of through happenstance, people wanted to do Sleeping Giants feeds. It's become kind of a brand, and people take that.
Is there Sleeping Giants France or something?
There's Sleeping Giants France. Sleeping Giants Australia is just making massive waves right now.
How do they decide what to do?
They just have a similar thing to Breitbart or like Australia. They're dealing with Sky News right now, and there are people dropping the N-word over and over again on their network, and people don't feel like that's fair. And so they've made major inroads over in Australia.
Who's doing that? You?
No.
Who do you?
We don't know each other's names.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
No.
So wait. So who? They just take the Sleeping Giants. How do they?
So
get
it would be people would approach in the early days. They would approach like through DMs or through our Facebook account and say, "Hey, I'm really interested in taking on a similar thing in my country." And then we were pretty careful. I went through, made sure they've been on our feed for a while and doing the right things and had the right tone and that kind of stuff. And after, and then it was, if someone had been doing it for a while and it made sense, we're not really adding anymore right now unless it's really.
So it was like, you do Sleeping Giants Australia.
Yeah, you do it. We'll send you a logo and we'll get you going and we'll support you as you grow. And, and like, that's been wild. I mean, for sure. Like, again, for someone that started this on a whim, didn't think we'd have like an international network.
So how many do you have?
So I think there are 11 countries and territories. We've got an EU. The EU is really the first big one.
Is there a single person running that there?
Someone opened the EU, Sleeping Giants EU, and we said, wait, you can't do that. And he said, well, I'm actually this guy that's been on your feed for a long time, and I'd like to help out. And so we were like, oh, yeah, you've been here from the beginning. Okay, why don't you do it?
Yeah.
And that's kind of the way it's been going. So, yeah, EU's been great and has coordinated a lot of
stuff. Some people copied your T-shirts?
Yeah, that I think it was on one of those T-shirt sites, and that got shut down in like 12 hours.
Yeah,
that was over. But
Do you make money?
So we're all determined not to take any money for this, and so we've made a decent amount of money on merch, but we're going to pour it back into other things we've done. We did a billboard, a mobile billboard, outside of Amazon because Amazon's the last remaining big advertiser on Breitbart.
Right.
So we asked them to do it. That didn't work, of course.
Well, you bought one of those driving by things.
Yeah. So we raised that money in 24 hours.
Yeah.
People were through money at that.
Yeah. And so what did it say?
It said, Amazon, please stop supporting hate on Breitbart or something like that.
And driving around Seattle.
They drove it around Seattle. It was awesome. Like, it was cool, but nothing happened. Those guys are a locked box.
They don't care. That's
a story for another time.
Yeah.
But
you get them. That'll be a giant that you
found. Well, I mean, look. Yeah, they have bigger problems than just Breitbart. But we'll leave it there.
So go ahead.
So, and then we did one outside of Facebook, and nothing happened with that either. But it was a try, and we took a big cut at it and spent
another mobile
$8,000
that you drive around that weird
neighborhood. I think we'd raised $6,000, and I think we put in $2,000 in merch money.
Yeah.
And I mean, we're sitting on, you know, a couple, we got like maybe 10 grand in merch money, but we're going to plug it into whatever we do next.
Whatever you
we're
think
not going to pay ourselves.
Actions, yeah, these actions that are effective. Yeah, Facebook's not going to pay
as long as we can
to.
Continue.
But also that campus is so weird there.
Yeah.
It's hard.
I haven't been out there.
They live in, it's like a terrarium.
Yeah.
I don't know how to explain it. It's just a terrarium.
Okay.
There's a roof of grass.
Maybe we'll
football field.
Maybe we'll airlift the billboard in next time.
No, because I'm sure they have machine guns somewhere. They'll just
okay, we're definitely not going to do that.
No, don't do that. Don't drone them. Don't drone them. That'll be bad.
No. We would never
do that. No, he's got a drone arm.
Everything hopefully is in good
faith. It'll be like Star Wars and the Death Star. Yeah. All those little things will pop out. Have you been in touch with any of these companies?
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, one of our, I'm not going to mention his name, but one of our early sort of supporters was retweeting a lot of stuff we were doing, ended up going to work there and doesn't really, erased all evidence that we had talked before.
Man.
But he's actually been good lately, and we're trying to like meet at some point to discuss things.
Right.
Just in general terms, not in specific
terms.
They should.
Terms. Well, yeah. What are they scared of? And so you got unmasked. Explain that. So you weren't known who you were. You were this person.
I was
Zorro.
Yeah. And also there was like some stories that have been built up. Of course, like they're going to drop the George Soros thing on you. And
George
Soros.
You're
really a Media Matters person and all that stuff.
Right.
And which I always found comical because I was sitting, you know, somewhere.
To be clear, George Soros is not your patron.
I mean, we don't have any. We have merch money.
If
someone wants to buy a T-shirt, we'll take your money.
Yeah.
But that's it.
Right. So George is not backing you. Media Matters is not backing you.
No. So, I mean, it would be great if they did. Like, I'd love to make a serious paycheck for this, but that's not happening.
Yeah. So they put that down. And then explain what happened and how you got unmasked.
So just finished lunch with my dad, and I got a text from a reporter from the Daily Caller, and I knew
right
away. Which
is a conservative.
Yeah.
To be polite.
Well, yeah. Also kind of on the same track as Breitbart.
Yes,
they say a lot of things that are pretty bigoted. But again, we weren't going after them or anything. We haven't contacted any advertisers on there or whatever. But and got a text from this reporter, and I knew right away that something was going to come out. And then he sent two emails to personal emails that aren't published. And then he hit my wife up on Facebook.
Why?
He's doing his job.
And he's a reporter. And look, if it was pretty interesting detective work, I'll say, I'll admit to that.
Mm-hmm.
But it was in bad faith, I think, overall to sort of expose me. And I think, it doesn't matter. I mean, maybe if they wanted to find out if I was being funded by someone, I think because of that whole, the sort of myth that had built up around that, I think maybe they thought, oh, we're going to nail this person. They're going to be connected to a global conspiracy and that, you know, we're taking all this money from people and we've got a political thing. And I think they were like, you ready for this? It's a guy that's concerned about hate. And that was it. And so
how did
that
you
happened.
Respond?
Well, look, you can either
it's
run.
Me.
Yeah. You can run away from it and hide, or you can just run right at it. And like, for better or worse, I just like, all right, I'm going to run right at it and just see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And man, like, I think that was the
What's
right call.
What's happened in the intro?
So that happened, and then that was a bad 4 days of relentless harassment.
Right.
My wife was getting calls on her phone that's not published, and they published my address and my kids' names, and they published the on the Breitbart site, and they left it up for 4 days. The synagogue where my son was bar mitzvahed, and said to go wish him a congratulations on his bar mitzvah.
Oh, no.
And so those are threats, you know, clearly.
Yeah.
And it took Breitbart. I went right at Joel Pollack, who runs Breitbart, one of the people who runs it. I said, if you're going to leave this up, why don't you put your kid's synagogue on there, too?
Mm-hmm.
And it came down 4 days later, but they left it up for a good long time.
Wow. There's nothing you can do. But that's appalling.
Yeah, it sucks. And And it's, again, it's all in bad faith. It's trying to scare someone from doing something. But ultimately, this thing is not about me.
Right.
It's about the community. If I stop running it tomorrow, it's still going to go on without me and without Nandini. It's and the other few people that are doing this.
And now you do it every day for a number of hours? Or
It's relentless.
It's relentless.
Yeah.
But you have a team and stuff like that.
Yeah.
There are people. Do you expect to do something more with it the way Rod Guys did?
Or yeah. I mean,
what do you
Look, I think we've got a sizable community now, and they've all got good ideas, and they want to make their voices heard. Mm-hmm. And so we have more of a voice. You get more people, and it's exponential. You get more people's opinions out there, and if they have a problem with something, then if you have 200,000 people, it's a lot better than having two people.
Right, absolutely.
And so I think the next step, I'm in the early stages of thinking about doing a conference showing up at one, but actually, because I think we've been whacking at the leaves for a long time, and it's time to work on the roots a little bit.
Right, right.
We need some corporate accountability for how ad dollars are spent, and some responsibility on where the investments are going. And and I think it's a story to just keep talking about, because people don't hear about it a lot. It's everything's so automated now that people don't think about it that much. And so if we can just be like the conscience of
A lot of our greatest tragedies are to do with that, exactly, automated.
Yeah, if we can be, if we can start to become the conscience of the social media communities and of advertisers, that'd be a great place to be. And, and
so you'd have a conference to do what?
To talk about these issues and have a discussion. I mean, I don't know if any answers are going to come out. They're really hard answers to get to. And so, but it starts with a discussion. And I think we'd like overall to be in the center of that discussion, or at least organizing that, and to have people talking about it. And we've been talking to other people about some digital solutions to things, which are really intriguing. But yeah, we'd like to be the source of some kind of conscience for these industries.
Oh, I like that. I think it sounds like a great idea. This is so fascinating. And so it all started off with IKEA.
It did. It did, with a dresser at IKEA. If that dresser hadn't come out, right away, we would not be sitting here.
No, I think we might be. And I got to tell you, I recommend it. It's at Sleeping Giants, right?
Yeah, it's at SLPNG_Giants.
Giants. And it's really funny, too. I've had some very funny interactions
with
you guys. Yeah, it's funny. You're very funny. I do like you slapping on Facebook a lot. I'm always enjoying that. And I know it bugs them.
It's good to know that they're even listening.
They're listening. Are you kidding? They monitor everything. And they're very, very
they know
hurt.
Exactly where I am right now.
No, and they're very hurt by your unhappiness with them. That's the worst part when you deal with them. I will get calls when I write something, but any of them, and they're like, very hurt by what you wrote. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah,
really?
Well, if they're hurt, there are a lot of other people that are getting way more hurt than they're getting hurt.
I just laugh at the whole thing. Anyway, Matt, it was great talking to you. Thanks for coming on the show. And I know you haven't done a lot of these, and I really appreciate that you're doing them. And we're going to get you on some other things.
Awesome,
that'd
be good.
If you enjoyed the interview as much as I did, be sure to subscribe to the show and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. You can also find more episodes of Recode Decode on Spotify, Google Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. If you didn't like the interview, or you're being funded by George Soros, or just want to say hi, tweet at me. I'm at Kara Swisher on Twitter. Now that you're done with this, go check out the latest episode of Recode Media. You can find that show wherever you found this one. Thanks for listening to this episode of Recode Decode, and thanks to our editor, Joel Robbie, and our producer, Eric Johnson. I'll be back here on Monday. Tune in then.